Good morning. Before we get going, a couple of quick fun announcements or reminders, really. The first is we are looking for a youth and children's pastor. We talked about this a couple of times. Dave, right now, he's doing, I'm talking about you. Dave, right now, is doing worship and youth. And after we make this transition and bring on another staff pastor on board, David will continue to do worship, but he also will be overseeing missions as well as Christian education. So it's a really neat role for him to be able to transition into, and we are still looking for someone that could take over that role of youth and children. So I want you all, because you all are a part of this process, to continue to be in prayer, that God would give us clarity, that God would give us wisdom, that he would bring the right guy here, and that we would be the right church for that person, that guy that God has in store. So would you continue to be praying for and with us? All right, great. Thank you so much. The other neat thing that I wanted to mention was starting this week, Wapaka Christian Academy, that's the Christian school here in town, they've actually had some issues with their building over the last few months. And because of the issues that they had with their building, they've been forced, really, to consolidate all the students in one part of the building and have a really strange schedule of switching classes and various things like that. Well, they are looking to get the issue resolved. But in order to get the issue resolved, kids can't be there in that one part of the building. So we have the opportunity, the great opportunity to be a blessing to them. Over there in our youth wing, we will be hosting them Monday through Friday during school hours. So if you're coming to the church to pop in my office or pop in Dave's office or anything like that and say hi, that's great. I want you to come in, but use these doors because we don't want to obstruct the learning that's happening down there. But what a neat opportunity that we can use a building that God's blessed us with. We can use it to be a blessing to others. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm very thankful for that. And that will be taking place this semester as well. So be in prayer for the little kiddos. I'm sure if they knew I was referring them to them as little kiddos, because I think it's junior high and high school. So the big kiddos, be in prayer for them too, that God would be working in their hearts and minds and shaping them in great ways also. All right, there are a couple other things that I wanted to talk about, but they actually, believe it or not, flow with the message today. Isn't that neat when God kind of orchestrates that thing out? So we will just get rolling. Anybody enjoy the drive into church this morning? If you got to drive past some water, you got to see the steam rising up, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Eli's in the backseat. What happened to the water? Where's the water going? It's beautiful. It's an incredible sight to see. And I actually have some sunglasses that I have like an orangish tint to them, right? And it takes care of the glare. I can see more clearly. So I put those on, and let me tell you, without the glasses, the trees pop. The trees are beautiful. God's really so creative and so incredible with his paintbrush that he paints the trees during the fall. But I put those glasses on, and it is really popping. You know, the whole drive, I'm kind of doing this. I'm like, oh, you know, kind of doing that. And I'm just making all these weird noises. And, of course, the little one in the back is mimicking me. I'm going back and forth. But there's one thing that I recognized is that as I'm doing this, it's changing my perspective, okay? So the orange becomes a little bit more orange. The red becomes a little bit more vibrant. I'm going back and forth. The glare is gone when I put my lens on. And I recognize that this little experience of driving in this morning, playing with my sunglasses, it reminded me of a C.S. Lewis quote. And the quote goes, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it goes, I believe in Christianity because it's like the sun. I see it very clearly, but by it, I see everything else. You catch that last part? By it, I see everything else. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that our worldview, our perspective, the lens in which we look through and see the world, it has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when we are not looking through that worldview, that gospel lens, then we can miss things. But when we look through that gospel lens, when we see the world the way that Jesus wants us to see it, everything changes. In our little time of prayer this morning with the worship team and tech team, Robert was praying, and he prayed for brothers and sisters in Christ that have been taken captive in Haiti. And it just was an incredible coincidence, and there are no coincidences with God, I would say that, but it was incredible that that was on his heart, because that's what I wanted, one thing I wanted to talk to you about today. There are 16 people that have been taken captive, missionaries. It's a missionary group that went down to Haiti to see an orphanage, and there are, 17 people that have been taken captive. And I just want to read an excerpt from a letter that their families wrote. God has given our loved ones the unique opportunity to live out our Lord's command to love your enemies. Isn't that incredible? I want to read that again, because if you don't see the perspective on here, I want to invite you to put your glasses on and understand that there's a gospel perspective in here. Ready? God has given our loved ones who are in another country, who are being held captive, who have been kidnapped, who have a price on their heads, who their kidnappers are saying that we are going to kill them if you do not meet our demands, if you don't give us ransom money. God has given our loved ones the unique opportunity to live out our Lord's command to love your enemies. I want that perspective. Do you? In the midst of my circumstances, when I am in trouble, when I am suffering, when my loved ones are suffering, when I don't quite see the answer, when I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, when all hope seems lost, when it seems as though I'm being persecuted, whatever it is, God, would you give me that perspective to remember your word? Would you give me that perspective to see things and see people the way that you see people? The group continued on and invited people to join them in prayer. Ready for this? Prayer for the kidnappers, as well as those that are kidnapped. Isn't that incredible? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, we are called to a higher calling, aren't we? We are called to see things in a totally different way. I was reading an article about this event that has happened and is ongoing, and there's two articles, actually, that I was reading, and they were very, very different. The first was talking about all the tactical ways that an army or a military could go in and to kill the kidnappers and be able to take the hostages and have as little casualties as possible and be able to make it, and that would be successful. And the other article was in this line of thinking, saying what would happen if the Church of Jesus Christ, the universal Church of Jesus Christ, began to pray for the hearts, for the souls of the kidnappers. What would happen if the Church of Jesus Christ acted like the Church of Jesus Christ and recognized that people are precious in God's sight, understood that God has a much bigger perspective than we ever could? I think that's special. And one other thing, just in case we wanted to hit home, the people that are kidnapped right now, being held hostage, and their lives are being, a dollar amount assigned to them. They're from Ohio, Michigan, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Oregon, Ontario, and Wisconsin. These are brothers and sisters in Christ that are in our own backyard that are in dire danger right now. So I'd like us to do something right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for those that are kidnapped. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted, that are really, they're literally in chains. The Bible tells us that we ought to remember those who are in chains, and we're also going to take the advice, the plea of their families, and we're going to pray for their kidnappers. Let's do that right now. Father, you are a big God. You are a good and loving God. And there are times where things like this happen where we just don't quite understand why. We don't understand why there is suffering in the world. We don't understand why that people who are doing good, missionaries that are going and doing your work, spreading love and hope, why they are captive, why they're kidnapped. And then we recognize that it's all a result of sin. It's all a result of Genesis chapter 3, the fall. And Lord, we are reminded that we, this world, needs hope. This world needs reconciliation. This world needs a Savior. And God, we are so thankful that Jesus is that Savior. He came to set the captives free. He came to break the bondage of sin. He came to bring enemies into the family. And God, we are so thankful that Jesus has already won the war. But there are still battles that are happening right now. There are still loved ones that are in Haiti that don't know if they'll see tomorrow. Lord, would you be with those brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you encourage them? Would you remind them that they are not alone? Would you be their joy and their peace in the midst of their suffering? In the midst of their captivity, Lord, would you remind them that they are free because of Jesus Christ? Remind them that even though physically they have chains on them, spiritually you came to set them free. Remind them of the truth found in your word, and let that be a hope and a great comfort to them right now. Lord, would you help them to be faithful? Something that we have all prayed for, we want to do, but Lord, when we're tested, we have the ability to be human and fall flat. So Lord, would you strengthen their faith? Would you help them to maintain their witness? Would you help them to love their captors? Would you help them to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in every opportunity that they have? And God, we pray for this gang that has kidnapped them. We pray for the leader and for the foot soldiers and for every single person that is involved in that gang. Lord, would you get a hold of their hearts? Would you remind them that they are made in your image? Would you let them know, perhaps for the first time, that you love them and that Jesus came and he died for them? Lord, would you do something in their hearts? Would you change their hearts? Would you help them to see you clearly, perhaps for the first time? Lord, as a result of this event that is taking place, that brothers and sisters across the world are praying for, Lord, as a result, would you bring people to yourself? Would you cause people to be saved as a result of this? Let the gospel be proclaimed so clearly, so evidently. Let angels rejoice because people are putting their trust in Jesus for the first time as a result of this trial, this tribulation that's taking place. Lord, remind us that Christianity, your family, is so much bigger than just these four walls. Remind us that your family extends throughout the whole world, and we have a responsibility to love and care for and pray for each other. Lord, we thank you that you have already won the victory. You have already conquered sin. You've already defeated death. Lord, help us to do everything we can right here, right now, in our corner of the world, in our moments, Lord, would you embolden us to share the good news of the gospel, the hope that we have living inside of us because of Jesus. It's in his great name we pray. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We are coming to an end of our journey through Ephesians. We are in chapter 6, and we're coming to an end. And I just love that the last 2 weeks we talked about the armor of God. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. It is truly happening. We just prayed about it. We just witnessed spiritual warfare taking place. And the neat thing is that God has equipped us for battle. He has prepared us for battle. He's given us the armor of God that we need to put on each and every single day. And the neat thing is that as we have the Word of God as our sword, we are also instructed that we ought to be praying. Look at verse 18. After Paul lists all the various pieces of armor, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We'll stop right there. There is an interesting and really unique and really cool thing that Paul does here. After he writes an entire letter to the Ephesians, the churches in Ephesus, he does this really neat thing. He reminds them that they are on mission with him. He is writing this letter from prison, and it is pretty obvious, we can put the pieces together across various epistles and in the books of Acts as well, that Paul is most likely under house arrest during this time. And he's able to, while under house arrest, write various letters, and Ephesians is one of them. And he writes the book of Ephesians while he is quite literally in chains, while he is being oppressed, while he is under arrest for the sake of the gospel. And what does he do? He reminds the Ephesians that they have a participation in this mission that he is doing. Let me read it again. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And you may be sitting here and you say, oh, I'm reading the same thing. It says like, seems like Paul is saying, he's the one in chains. He's the one proclaiming the gospel. He's the one that is asking prayer for himself. And you're right. But I think if that's all we see, we might have a small view of prayer. Because prayer gets things done, doesn't it? Prayer is this incredible thing that you and I have the ability to talk to the creator of the universe. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. I feel like I say that phrase all the time, but it never loses the specialness, the exhilaration that I get by saying that, because I think about this God who created the heavens and the earth, galaxies. He created the universe. He created you and me, and yet this incredible, huge, beyond our comprehension God, he not only wants to hear from us, he commands us to talk to him. And God knows what we're going to pray before we pray it. He knows our deepest, darkest thoughts. He knows us. And he still wants to hear from us. So prayer works. No, if you don't believe that, let me just say it one more time. Prayer works. God, he hears us. He cares about what is on our heart. He cares about our burdens. He cares about the things that we bring before his throne. He cares about our prayers. And if you hear nothing else today, that alone should rock your world. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I can't pray that well. Or, hold on, I can't pray good, right? Doesn't matter. Can you talk? Can you think words? Then you can pray. God is a great big God that people that are so versed in great, huge, great, awesome vocabulary, they can speak and God can understand all the big words they use. And then a kid, a child, can say, thank you, God. Help me today. Help me with what? I don't know. But you know I need help, right? A kid can talk to God. That's how big our God is. And so Paul says, I need you all to pray. I need you to pray for the brothers and sisters, for all the saints. I need you to pray, and I need you to pray for me. And I mentioned that Paul is, he's writing this while he's under arrest. And if you still have your Bibles, flip to the next page, because then we're in the book of Philippians. And this is another letter that Paul writes while he is in prison. And I want you to read a couple of verses with me. In chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's saying, I want you to know that I am under arrest, I am in chains, and I want you to know that me being arrested has really served to advance the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul had to be a really annoying prisoner, I think, right? Here is his captors, his guards are watching over at them. And I could imagine that they're like, okay, just got to get past my shift. Just got to stand here. Just got to make sure the prisoner doesn't escape. And by the time their shift is over, they've heard all about Jesus from start to finish. Paul just couldn't shut up about Jesus and what Jesus has done in his life. And I say amen to that. People should see us coming and they say, oh, they're going to talk about Jesus, I bet. Yeah! Let's be annoying, right? Because the love that Jesus has put in us should just overflow. And so Paul, he's saying, you guys got to know, my imprisonment, it's for the gospel. It is to advance the gospel. And check this out. Let's go to the end of the book of Philippians, the very last chapter, chapter 4. In his final greetings, Paul has laid out this beautiful book of Philippians. And he's written and he gets to his last couple of verses. Verse 21, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. Okay, that's great. Paul is tidying everything up. He's saying, make sure everybody knows that I says hi. And make sure everybody that hears you know that everybody, all the brothers and sisters in Christ that are with me, they all say hi too. Everybody wants to say hi. And then verse 22, all the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household. That's pretty crazy. So the especially reminds us that it kind of denotes to us that all the brothers, all the saints, all the Christians that are with Paul, they say, oh, you're writing to Philippians? Make sure that they know I say hi. And then those that are in Caesar's household, Paul says, especially those. So it's as though they came up to Paul and says, make sure that our representation really gets in there. I want those Philippians to know that there are people in Caesar's household to say, hey, maybe you don't know how big of a deal this is. The Caesar that Paul's talking about, this is Emperor Nero. Now, I'm not saying Emperor Nero put his trust in Jesus. That's pretty clear that he didn't. But it's those that are in his household. Emperor Nero, in just a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years from Philippians being written, he is the emperor that would take Christians, dip them in oil or wax, put them on a stake, and light them on fire and use them as lighting for his garden. Emperor Nero hated the church, and he persecuted Christians horribly. And yet there were people in his own household that had put their trust in Jesus as a result of Paul's imprisonment. That's cool, isn't it? Paul's making the most of every opportunity, isn't he? Paul is recognizing that he can and should talk about Jesus no matter what his circumstance, and there is no limit to what God can do. Even a member of the great persecutor Nero's household put his trust, put their trust, there's multiple ones it seems, put their trust in Jesus because Paul was faithful to share the gospel. How much more can we be faithful to share the gospel? Shouldn't we talk to our friends and our family? Shouldn't we talk to our coworkers? Shouldn't we use every opportunity that we have to say, Jesus changed my life? Maybe you don't know all the great theological words. Maybe you're new in this reading the Bible thing and you don't know which verses to direct them to. But I think if you just simply say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? He changed my life. He's making me new. All I got to do is put my trust in him and he's changed everything in my world. I think that's a word that somebody can understand. I think that's something that each and every one of us can do. But back to Ephesians. So let's go back to chapter 6 here. Paul's asking the believers to pray. Verse 21, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Isn't that neat? That the church is so tied together, so personal, that they're wondering how Paul's doing. Is he getting enough to eat? I can see the grandmas in the church saying, Is he eating enough? You know. Some of you had good grandmas there, you know what I'm talking about. But he said, no, this beloved brother, I'm gonna send him and he's gonna tell you all about me. He's gonna tell you how I'm doing. Verse 22, I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. The church is here to encourage one another. Look around the room and look at your brothers and sisters in Christ and know that we're here to encourage each other. We're here to lift one another up. We're here to pray for each other. We're here to support one another. We have a great emphasis on the individual nature of our faith. You put your trust in Jesus. You put your faith in Jesus. That's how you're saved. God has no grandkids. You're not grandfathered into this whole thing. You need, as an individual, to put your trust in Jesus. But once you put your trust in Jesus, you're in the family of God. You're not alone. So even though we have this individual faith, we have a community faith as well. We need each other. We need to lean on each other when we're going through hard times. We need to lift one another up. In verse 23, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. After he says that we need to care for each other, that the local church needs to be involved with the universal church. The universal church needs to be involved with the local church. And when I'm using those two terms, you got to know, when I'm talking about a local church, I'm talking about this right here. A gathering of believers that are local, that we can get together often, and we should get together often. We should be able to be in community with one another. That's the local church. The universal church, I've been using that term, that means every single believer who has put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so believers in Haiti, they are part of the local church. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the local church needs to support and pray for and encourage the universal church. And we recognize that the universal church, they are all part of local churches as well. You see the fun dynamics there? We are part of a local church. We need to love and support and care for our local church. And even though we don't always get on planes or go overseas or do other things, we can still be a part of the universal church as well by lifting each other up in prayer. But at the end there, these last three verses, Paul says, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. What's the last two things that he leaves the Ephesians with? He leaves them with peace and grace. Two things that we need to recognize that God gives us. As believers, we will face trials and tribulations. We will face hard times. Jesus himself says to his disciples, the world is going to hate you. because they hate me. So in the midst of being hated, in the midst of hard times, in the midst of potentially being kidnapped like some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are, in the midst of these horrible suffering of times, we can and should have peace. If we serve the Prince of Peace, then we should be a people of peace, shouldn't we? And we should also understand grace, the grace that God gives us, the grace and the love and kindness that we have from God because of Jesus Christ, grace that is greater than all of our sins, grace that is greater than anything that we can do, grace that allows us to take that next step each and every single day and say, today, I'm going to live for Jesus. Today, I'm going to live in a way that pleases Him, not by my power, but by His, because He has given me grace. So as we wrap up this book, I want us to, next week, we will really wrap up this book. So if you're like, great, we're done with Ephesians. Not yet. One more week. We'll go through it. But I want us to gather from these last few verses in this book that we, as believers, as a local church, we need to pray. We need to be people that are concerned with peace. And we need to be people that are concerned with grace. These last few verses really drive home that point that God gives us great grace. He gives us great peace. And therefore, we ought to be praying to Him in good times and in bad. We need to lift one another up in prayer. We need to be a church that prays. And I want to remind you that there are opportunities here at our church to pray. I mentioned earlier that every Sunday at 8:30, the worship team and tech team and everybody that's doing things, all the moving parts you see, we go over the service and then we spend time in prayer. That's an important time. But I also want to say, if you're not a part of those teams, you can still pray. In fact, in the library, a group meets together every single Sunday morning at 8:30 to pray. So I invite you to those gatherings as well. We are a church that prays. We are a church that recognizes that there is nothing that we could do of any eternal significance apart from the power of prayer. Paul drives that point home. We need to recognize that as well. God can do great things when we submit to Him and we just simply pray. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for all that You've done. Lord, we thank You that You love us and You have given us peace, that we have the Prince of Peace, who is our Savior. God, we thank You for the great, amazing, incredible grace that You give us, that it allows us to take that step each and every single day, to wake up, to live our days in a way that would honor You. Lord, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for all that You've done. Lord, help us to remember that we should be praying to You without ceasing. And Lord, we thank You so much that there is no limit to Your power. There is no limit to what You can do in us and through us. Help us to submit to You each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.